You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out door.
Come over here, kid. Wait a second. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
And no, I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Tostitos,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle and Jordan. How you doing? Hey, welcome not just to Mouthful, welcome to summer too. Did you get whiplash from the weather this week? God, it was like, what, 45 degrees and then it felt like 90. Anyway, summer is here, coinciding with what is said to be culturally the kickoff of summer Memorial Day weekend. Great food. I mean, there's always great food at the farmers markets, but oh, the cherries. The cherries have been so yummy. And I got the first zucchini. The first zucchini, and oh, God, cooked up a whole bunch of it. It was gone in a day, less than a day. Anyway, we're talking about things to do with food, of course, but partly through the farmers market and partly through the world of insects. We have returning for, I don't know how many times, Frederic Lavoie-Pierre, who does the entomology program at Sonoma State, and lots of other cool, wonderful things in her garden and with bugs. The only person I know to have a walking stick. We also have with us Terry Tasso of Napa Valley Botanicals. I got it right. Cool. And you are coming back as well. And we have Paula Downing, market manager of the Sebastopol Farmers Market and the Santa Rosa Farmers Original Farmers Market. That's on both Wednesdays and Saturdays. And we also have with us
Ann from Stilla Flora Botanicals.
Oh, yes. Okay, Ann. What's your last name, Ann?
Ann Wyatt Lyon.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in. I know you all came in at short notice. We were going to have John Raleigh on tonight. John Raleigh runs the Oyster Wine Competition. He's based up in Seattle, and we have rescheduled John. It should be a really interesting show. We've rescheduled him for June 20th. He's going to be sending down some oysters from up there in the Seattle region, along with some of the wines that won this year's Oyster Wine Competition, and we'll be talking about them on the air, trying them and talking about them on the air. He had a very severe family emergency, which is why he had to postpone. So we wish John a happy resolution to the situation, and he will be with us on June 20th. So in the meantime, let's talk first about what is happening. I think this might be your domain, Terry. What's happening next week at the farmers market?
Yeah, well, thanks, Michelle. Next week, we're having our 7th annual All Things Herbal, which is an herb fair and plant sale that is a benefit for the Sonoma County Herb Exchange. And like I said, this is our seventh time of doing this, so we're starting to get it down. And we've got some beautiful herbal vendors. We're going to have quite a few plant vendors there also, offering medicinal and culinary herbs, native plants, ornamentals, even some endangered plant species you can find. There's going to be one vendor there with exotic plants from South America. So pretty exciting plant vendors besides the plant vendors that are in the market itself, which there's a good selection. So if you don't yet have your herb or veggie starts, this is a really good time to come out and get them. There's still plenty of time to plant. The weather's perfect for planting. And we have tons of herbal-related vendors there that are make everything from their own salves and lip balms and creams to cordials and flower essences, tinctures, skincare products. We'll have lots of books, herbal-related books. So good food, of course, the farmer's market there. So it's just a great day. It's from 10 to 3, June 6th.
Oh, it goes from 10 to 3.
Yeah, it goes a little bit longer than the farmer's market. Uh-huh. And a lot of the vendors stick around and hang out because mm-hmm. it's such a fun day. We have music all day long. And so come out. It should be a beautiful, beautiful day next Sunday. And we'd love to see you out there.
Cool. Ann, what are you going to be doing there?
I'll bring... Excuse me. I bring my handmade skincare products, creams and lotions, and then I also do flower essence elixirs and herbal elixir remedies that are a combination of flowers and herbs. Hydrosol, we have a small...
Oh, you do hydrosols?
Yeah, my husband and I have a small farm south of Sebastopol, and we do our own lavender from that farm. I have lavender essential oil. It's we grow certified biodynamic from the Demeter Association, mm-hmm. and their Stellar Surfaces Organic. And then I usually also have a couple of other hydrosols available that I have from Sophia's Garden, Monique Camp, out past Grayton, the lemon verbena and rose geranium, besides my own lavender. Mm-hmm. So I make a variety of skincare products, and the spa at Hotel Healdsburg features a line of my, with my treatment line with my products. So they do a... body massage, body milk treatment, and cream, and facial serum, that sort of thing. So I'll have everything with me.
Okay, great. Paula, is there anything you want to add to what will be going on next Sunday?
It's my favorite plant moment at the farmer's market. There's so many tantalizing plants at this herbal fair. I don't know the names of the growers, but... every year I find really interesting things that I don't have and that I want. So that's my favorite part of it.
I've spent this last 3 days, well, actually started on Wednesday, got a lot of plants at the Santa Rosa Farmers Market on both Wednesday and Saturday. I went to Emerisa's garden and then got a number of more plants on sent today at this, and they're all in the ground.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm not the one who did it. I went ahead and I ripped out this, or I had someone rip out this whole section that, you know how some plants just migrate? And, you know, it was okay, but I just decided I wanted a sage garden, a salvia garden. And it faces, you know, due south. It's hot. Thought, you know, I just want sage and salvia outside my office door. So I got that in today. I'm really happy. Anyway, Frederick, you don't participate officially in this particular event, do you?
In the herbal fair? No, actually, I'm really sorry to hear that it is on the 6th because I'm busy all day and my favorite market.
Now, are you involved in the blooming gardens?
The master gardeners. That's I'm going to be busy. And so 6 backyards in Petaluma are open, and it's a benefit. And I think a ticket's $25. Yeah. And I'm going to be in one of the gardens in Petaluma. With a table full of beneficial insects. And
will you have the walking sticks there?
No, I don't take walking sticks to gardens. They're exotic and invasive, and they eat everything in the rose family. They don't need males to reproduce, and they fling their eggs. And so, so they stay inside.
They don't need...
inside.
They have asexual reproduction?
Yes. This is my husband's least favorite joke, is that they are highly evolved and they don't need males to reproduce.
Yes, I guess you wouldn't want to take them to a garden. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's happening, and you can read about that if you want to find out about that. We'll actually put some information on Mouthful's Facebook page about the Blooming Gardens, but it will also be in my column in the Press Democrat on Friday in Mouthful. You have some other really interesting things going on with habitats and stuff, and you brought this huge basket of herbs.
Oh, right. Well, you know, I thought it was interesting when you said, come talk about herbs, because I'm talking a lot about bees this month, as a matter of fact.
And you you brought more bees than I knew existed.
Yes, and this is only a handful of the species that are out there.
You've got one that looks like, it's like the Cochin chicken of the bee world. It looks like it's fuzzy. I was thinking of this one. It's fuzzy.
One. Right, and that's one of the leafcutter bees. And you can recognize leafcutter bees because they carry their pollen on their abdomen. So the orchard mason bees that are used by a lot of farmers now to pollinate their orchards, that's a leafcutter bee.
Oh, really?
And they cut little pieces of leaves to line their nests. And sometimes you'll see that on rose plants. I'm trying to convince my mom that looks like lace.
Yeah. So that's it. And I have seen leaves that will look like they've been turned to lace. So that's from a leafcutter bee.
From a leafcutter bee. And they just cut these, actually they cut ovals to line the nest. And when they get up to the top, they cut a perfect little circle to cap it.
And they build nests.
Yeah.
Rather than hives.
That's right. Most bees are actually solitary. Our native bees are almost exclusively solitary.
And I've seen some ground bees. I've been surprised by ground bees on a couple of occasions.
And most of them are ground nesters, too. And so we love honeybees because they make honey for us. But there are actually many, many bees that can do the work of pollinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have a brochure here. What is it? Something about 90? What is it? Oh, 95% of all animal species on Earth are insects?
Yes.
I thought that was interesting. I was thinking it was bees, but it's like, no, that's not right. So it's insects, and fewer than 1% of them are annoying.
Yes. That's right. I have a new favorite fact, which is if we took out just bees, ants, and termites, our entire terrestrial ecosystem would completely collapse.
Really?
Yes. But if we took out vertebrates, there would be a nice little ecosystem that would just sort of continue.
Why is that the case, Frederick? Why?
Insects play a very important part in the food web. And they are relied upon as food by, a lot of birds eat insects.
Yeah.
Many, many birds.
And bats.
And bats and fish. And so they're an essential part of the food web.
And then there's a lot of foods that wouldn't exist anymore if we didn't have the pollination through bees. So what are some of those?
Well, everything in the rose family. I would say, we would be left eating things like wheat and corn.
We wouldn't have almonds. Pollinated. We wouldn't have apples.
No apples.
What about olives? Are olives bee pollinated or wind? I think they're wind pollinated.
I'm not sure about olives.
Yeah, I think they're wind pollinated.
I know chocolate is pollinated by a little gnat. We wouldn't have coffee. We wouldn't have tea. Grapes, we would still have wine. So that's a good thing. And a lot of the beautiful flowers we're used to, we wouldn't mm-hmm. have either. Yeah. Everything in the daisy family, everything in the mint family, all our herbs.
Uh-huh. It's like a lot of people don't like bats, and I have a reputation for being a big advocate of bats. There are 800 foods that if all bats suddenly disappeared, those foods would be gone.
Many tropical fruits, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and tropical and rainforests.
You'll be happy to hear that we're going to have live bats at Insectapalooza this year.
I'll start planning my costume now. With Patricia Winters?
No, Patricia's not doing that anymore. Somebody's coming from the East Bay.
Oh.
And I think that she's been not well.
Oh.
And so.
Well, Patricia Winters, of course, an amazing bat enthusiast. Yeah. And if she's not doing well, I hope her health improves. We're going to take a little musical break. We'll be right back with more talk.
Whenever something dies, the FBI is there on the scene. The FBI is working overtime, the FBI, to pick those bones clean. Fungus,
bacteria,
vertebrates, the FBI. Fungus,
bacteria,
invertebrates, the FBI. There's fungus all among us and it's breaking things down. We're turning nutrients into the fertile ground. Billions of mycelium among the ground, that's why. When you hold a handful of the earth, you hold the FBI. The FBI. Whenever something dies, the FBI is there on the scene. The FBI is working overtime. The FBI to pick those bones clean. Fungus,
fungus,
bacteria,
bacteria,
invertebrates,
invertebrates,
the FBI. Fungus,
fungus,
bacteria,
bacteria,
invertebrates,
invertebrates,
the FBI. There are billions of bacteria in that soil over there. Microscopic life is in our water, land, and air. You should know that they are there, though they are too small for your eye. These are secret agents of the FBI. The FBI. Whenever something dies,
the FBI
is there on the scene.
The FBI
is working overtime.
The FBI
to pick those bones clean. Fungus,
fungus,
bacteria,
bacteria,
invertebrates,
invertebrates,
the FBI. Fungus,
fungus,
bacteria,
bacteria,
invertebrates,
invertebrates,
the FBI. Insects, bugs, slugs, and worms are working night and day. The invertebrate crew are special agents of the day.
To remove whatever's rotten, they will hop, crawl, hide, or fly. Enforcing nature's laws, they are the FBI.
The FBI.
Whenever something dies,
the FBI
is there on the scene.
The FBI.
It's working overtime.
The FBI.
To pick those bones clean.
Fungus.
Bacteria.
Invertebrates. The FBI. Fungus.
Bacteria.
Invertebrates. The FBI. This is the FBI. We have you surrounded. In fact, we've got you covered.
But I'm just a rotten lawyer.
That's right, you're rotten. And that's why we're here. Don't try to resist. We're turning you into tough and soil.
Every skill in the government ways. Lift up a rotten log and you will surely be amazed. Go creeping through the forest, learn to see and be a spy. In search of evidence of the FBI.
The FBI.
Whenever something dies,
the FBI
is there on the scene.
The FBI
is working overtime.
The FBI
to pick those bones clean.
Come on.
Fungus. Bacteria. Invertebrates. The FBI. Everybody sing. Fungus.
Bacteria.
Invertebrates. The FBI. The FBI. The FBI.
It's mouthful, and I think you should lean in really close to your radio right now and breathe in and see if you can smell the herbs. The perfume in the studio is absolutely amazing. And you have, this is a body milk. You said the Healdsburg Spa is using
the spa at the Hotel Healdsburg.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm, gosh, can I touch it?
Yeah, I brought it for you. It's a lemon and sage treatment, lemon lime body milk and sage treatment. So it has lemon. I use lemon blossoms and lemon zest in a decoctions that I make, and then I blend it with oils, local organic oils, and beeswax, some shea butter, Princess Aisha's
shea butter,
yeah, as much as possible, and a variety of things along with some lemon verbena hydrosol from Sophia's Garden, and whip it up in the blender, and it makes a wonderful, not as oily, but more like an oily lotion, but as a massage treatment, they really love it. It gives a wonderful glide for the masseuse.
It feels really nice.
They really think it's great. So for a spring treatment, a little bit of detoxing, a little bit of clarifying for the system after the winter, pull out the toxins with the lemon and the sage.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then you also have here, this is a lavender hydrosol.
Lavender hydrosol from our plants last summer, and then the lavender essential oil, right?
To make I'm not sure what quantity to speak of. Okay, but this looks like, what, a four-ounce jar?
That is a 100-milliliter bottle, okay. Yeah.
Is it possible to say how many lavender flowers it took to make this?
Well, I can tell you that we have, not in flowers, but we have 3,000 plants.
Wow.
And when you harvest pretty much the whole field for the distillation, it gives us approximately 55 gallons of hydrosol, okay, and 3 liters of oil.
Okay, out of 3,000 plants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so only 1 liter out of 1,000 plants, uh-huh, as far as the oil is goes. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like talking to the people at the Russian River Rose Company.
Right.
The amount of rose oil they get from the distillation, right, is amazingly,
right,
low.
It takes a lot of rose petals to, yeah, do more than the lavender. The lavender has a little more body to, uh-huh, it, but those petals, yeah, mm-hmm, absolutely.
So do you grow most of the product? I mean, obviously not oils.
I don't grow most of them. We have calendula. I have fruit that I use in my products. We have raspberry, apple, pear, the lemons, calendulas, and occasional nettles and dandelions and mint and things that, yarrow, things
plantain,
like that.
Plantain, do you use plantain?
Yes, I use plantain a little bit. If I don't grow them, then I will get them from other local growers, especially through the Sonoma County Herb Exchange, uh-huh, which I'm sure Terry can also speak about, because that's part of the benefit we're having for the herb fair next year, because it needs support from all of us, but, mm-hmm, as far as growers and other herbalists in the county, it's a hub for us to sell our herbs through, and Leslie Gardner makes a great connection for us throughout the county for other people who make things and would like to have our local herbs. Mm-hmm. So I get from there as well, get as many things locally. I can't get certain things locally, but as much as I can, I do.
Mm-hmm. And Frederick, you have a lot of stuff spread out before you that you took out of the basket. Uh-huh. One of the things you were saying off mic is that you like to grow things you can't get.
That's right.
So why don't you talk about some of the things here?
Well,
this adorable
things,
little thing.
Yeah, well, that's a small, an immature bergamot orange. And I love the smell of this peel. And you can use this in cooking, and you use the peel rather than the juice for the most part. Bergamot orange is is used to flavor Earl Grey tea, mm-hmm, not bergamot mint. Although that smells wonderful, too. I have a plant of cardamom, and the leaves are, you would probably be better at describing the smell than I, but they're a little bit kind of spicy and cinnamony.
And there's a sweetness.
Sweet. And you can use those in cooking, and I think you'd have to grow it in a greenhouse to get the pods.
Uh-huh.
It's in the ginger family. Kaffir lime, which is a little bit tender, and you can put it under the eave of your house. The people at Four Winds who grow these dwarf citrus trees said you can just put those kind of medium-sized Christmas lights in them.
Mm-hmm. To keep them warm.
On the coldest nights of the year.
I do that for my lemon. I have a Meyer lemon
It's
in the southern exposure, but I always ring it with Christmas lights every winter and then plug them in on all those frosty nights. Yeah.
What a great idea. That's how I'm going to keep a Meyer lemon alive. Oh, I really need one, and I've killed a couple.
Yeah, so it's a very effective way to go. I have a little herb in here that's now lost amongst the others called Nepeta that sometimes it's called calamint, and the Italians like to use that.
Mm-hmm.
It's good with green beans or mushrooms. Oh. It's kind of like a minty marjoram is how I think of it.
Yeah, and I love this calamint.
Yeah, like here's a marjoram, which is I also like to grow marjoram, and chervil is an herb that you are not going to see in the markets.
No, chervil just about over?
Yeah.
It doesn't hold up in hot weather.
It doesn't like heat.
It's very temperamental. You see, here's a little piece that's going to seed.
Yeah.
And when I see a new garden that doesn't have chervil, I think, well, you should just plant some seed, and then it will go to seed. And the next year, it's going to come back when it feels like it and where it feels like it.
Mine hasn't come back. No. I need to look. Maybe it's somewhere. Maybe it's hiding.
It's hiding. In fact, this year, mine was hiding, and I was surprised by it. It chose a new spot this year.
So. And then let's see, what is...
So that's Angelica.
Okay, I thought it was Angelica, but I wasn't
positive.
And if
you crush it, you can get the smell. My mom says she wants to experiment with this.
Is this it
year.
The native or the Archangelica?
This is the Archangelica, although I grow just about every Angelica I can. Mm-hmm. I love them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love Angelica,
so,
too.
Yeah.
You had some lemon verbena there, too, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Where's the lemon verbena?
Where did it go?
There it is.
Oh, there.
I love lemon verbena. Mm.
I love the flowers of lemon verbena.
And then I have this interesting herb here that isn't going to smell like much right now, but if you dry it, that's sweet woodruff, and it's used in May wine. And it smells sort of like a new mown hay.
Yeah, so it just smells really refreshing.
Yes, and so you can take that little bunch home and dry it. It'll smell wonderful.
Now, let's bring you back into the conversation too, Terry. You grow a lot of herbs. Talk about... Jump into this conversation.
Well, I grow quite a few of those that Frederic has put down. Not the calamint and not the gallium. The sweet woodruff that kind of likes shade, and so I don't grow that where I am. But I love that herb a lot. When it's dried, it kind of smells kind of vanilla-y.
Really?
But there's so many herbs that grow in this area. We're just blessed to live in this area because I probably have about 75 different varieties on my farm, and that's just a little half acre. I probably grow close to 100 different starts of medicinal and culinary herbs that do really well here. And I don't have a greenhouse. What I have is a hoop house, which is great to keep the frost off and keep the wind off and keep the... I can put shade cloth on it and keep the hottest sun off of it. But when the temperatures drop at night, it drops down in the hoop house too. So it's not really, like a greenhouse. And so, but these herbs thrive. So there's just literally hundreds of varieties of herbs that we can grow in this area, which is really, really great.
Now, you hear a lot, depending on what media outlet you're either reading, listening to, whatever, about the benefits of natural herbs and herbs and natural products, and I have a feeling that we all sort of are on the same page about that sort of thing. And then you hear from the more mainstream commercial that herbs are dangerous, that everything should, you should be buying those commercial products. Can we have a discussion about that?
Well, one of the first things I would say about that is normally when they're talking about the herbs, they're talking about a standardized extract where they have taken the herb and bumped up the active constituent, the medicinal component in the herb, and they've taken it and bumped it up. And then they've turned it more into, it's not a whole herb anymore. It's now almost a pharmaceutical drug in a way. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those studies are actually done with those types of products. And that's not at all what we're talking about when we talk about using herbs, either to cook with or for medicine. We're talking about using the whole plant just like you would eating an apple. Mm-hmm. You don't want to just take pectin. You want to eat the whole apple.
It's like
apple.
You don't want to take those pills. Those garlic pills,
Well, and
you
sometimes they
garlic,
can be effective.
It's
definitely. You want the whole, because there's a broad spectrum that's going on in any plant, and you want all of those components to be part of it, just like you would with your food. To me, herbs are food. They are medicinal food. Food is medicine, and to me, herbal medicine is also food, as far as I'm concerned. You just implement that into your daily life, just like you would any food that you eat. But,
I believe that also with the skincare.
Yeah, I was going to ask
because,
about that.
Because you can take lots of nutrients in through the skin.
Yeah, I mean, the skin largest, is our biggest organ.
That's right. And it takes in and lets go of a lot of things that we don't need. But by using natural-made skincare products and organic things on your skin, then you can take in those minute qualities. That's another way to add to what topically goes through your body for health, as well as having the purity as much as possible. It's like cooking to me, even the skincare. It's really like cooking. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to buy something off the shelf, how long has it been sitting there? What warehouse was it made in? And certainly they have their sterile environments. You don't want a product that's going to bloom and grow and do something, but you want it also as lively as possible because that's the way it works for us. We need it alive. Otherwise, you take a lot of things through your skin that are not good for you. I also don't believe in plastic. I package all my things in glass as much as possible.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Because I think it's a really interesting subject.
Well, when products sit in the plastic, they absorb a lot of things from the heat and coming and going of, you know, handling and how long it sits there. So you're going to take in those products that are the things that are in plastic into your system. Mm-hmm. So anytime, I can't speak technically about the names of this or that. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether Terry or anybody else
can. But the plastic is not inert.
No, no, it's not inert. Even glass really is not inert. Mm-hmm. I mean, what actually is inert? Do we have anything on the planet that is in, is not? Even metals or anything.
People,
I mean, you know, they do affect us, and they are they permeate to a certain degree. Maybe a lot of things take a lot longer, but even rock can be worn down. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
there's a lot of minerals in rock.
Yeah, yeah, there are a lot of nutrients. So I also work with flower essences. I put flower essences in my topical products because as a healer and an herbalist, I believe that you should get all those nutrients for your subtle body as well as your physical body in what you do. So it is like mixing your own topical cream and lotion and applying it because I try to make them in small batches and have them available for people right away.
I know the first time, this was years and years ago now, the first time I tried Solemn and Herbs.
Yes, yes. Susan, she's a friend of mine.
From the minute I bought my first little jar of rose silk cream, I can't live without it.
Yeah, she's a dear friend up in Washington State now.
Yeah, and I made a lot of shift in things that I used on my skin to this.
Yeah, I mean, unless you get something that you really know is made here. I mean, Dr. Hauschka products are wonderful. They're also very expensive, and they're also made far away.
Oh, they are? So where are those made?
Well, Europe.
Germany.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, maybe some things related. I don't know if they make anything on the on the East Coast or not, but then they have to be shipped here. And so how long ago was that made? And they're great as far as what a commercial product can be, and I think there are a few other things.
You should say
local.
That name again.
The Dr. Hauschka ones, which are, but they're also, to me, that they're starting putting them in tubes, which are, you know, lined with zinc or something. I mean, they're very conscious because they are also anthroposophical, Demeter, or biodynamic products and thoughtfulness and everything on how they handle everything. It's just, to me, the long term of how long it took to get here, that it had to be shipped on a barge from somewhere across the ocean. So if you can learn to make your own things or get something locally, to me, that's the freshest you can get.
Yeah. So we have someone else joining us now. I believe it is Patricia?
Kazmarek.
Kazmarek. Welcome. Got to get you a little closer to the microphone.
You. Hello, everybody.
And you are with...
I have a company called PK Sonoma that I started 2 years ago.
Okay, tell us about it.
PK Sonoma was started 2 years ago by me and my partner, Albert Cellini. And we also make small crafted, I make everything myself actually right now in small batches. And I'm actually known for my lavender and chamomile. I worked for a winery here called Matanza Creek for seven years, and they made all their lavender products.
Oh, okay. Oh, you made all their lavender stuff. Okay.
And I left there 2 years ago to actually develop my own line. And I'm kind of known for my German chamomile because I use a special Azulan German chamomile that I have a small farm grow for us, and it really helps people with eczema, psoriasis, itchy skin, but it's very pure and natural. We have a lot of doctors and nurses use it. It's made out of pure grapeseed oil, and then I use this Azulan German chamomile that I have a special farmer grow for me, and it's just been remarkable. People in the last couple years have say it helps them with all their itchiness and skin for psoriasis. It doesn't heal it because that's a disease of the immune system, but it just seems to stop the itching and the bleeding. But you can also, it's so pure, you can use it as an eye cream. You can use, I actually tell people it's gentle enough for babies diaper rash, but it's effective on the worst psoriasis.
Yeah.
And it's just that pure and simple. And the other moisturizers I make, I also make a rose, but I use a Bulgarian rose. I don't really, we do grow all of our own flowers, but I do buy a lot of essential oils from around the world. And
That's needed. We don't have the producing, the farms that produce enough of the plants for local as much.
It takes so much quantity, too.
Yeah.
Where are your products available?
Well, actually, when I left Matanza, we planned on branding a store in Sonoma, but then the economy literally fell apart a couple months after I left the winery. So literally, like, Paula was one of the first persons that welcomed us into the Santa Rosa Farmers Market, which was wonderful because actually a lot of my customers knew me there from the winery, and it's just been wonderful. I mean, Sebastopol customers are wonderful. Santa Rosa, they know the products. They come back every week and tell us that they really love the products. There's just a wonderful clientele. I love her farmers market. It's just nice and small.
Paula runs the best farmers market.
She actually does. does, because she supports everybody, and it just, she doesn't make it grow so big that, you know, all the local artists aren't supported, where some of the other farmers markets are so huge, there's thousands of people there selling the products.
So you're going to be at the fair next week.
I'm not, actually. I'm at the Sonoma Art and Wine in Sonoma. Oh, okay. I wish I was. I didn't even know about it, actually. I was there the last 2 weeks at the farmer's market, and I'm there on June 19th.
Okay.
Again, in both Saturday and Sunday. I try to come about once a month or twice a month, but I also do the Marin Farmer's Market, and I do Oakland Farmer's Market, Napa. We really try to get around because we're new, and we're really trying to expose the product. And what I found is that a lot of people really don't understand natural products.
No, they don't.
They just don't understand how to use them exactly. So I notice if we show how small amount it takes with the natural, like I use a lot of macadamia nut oil, a lot of sesame seed oil, a lot of unrefined beeswax, but they just slather it on and then they think it's an oily
mess.
Then
it's
mess.
Too oily. It takes time with a natural product to soak into the skin. And so the commercial products, another thing that they do is they add additives that will make it soak through quickly in a different type of blend than probably Patricia and I are doing.
You'll understand our blends probably.
Yeah. So then they soak in really quick. That way you can use more of their product. You're going to buy more, you're going to use more. They want you to buy it, right? Mm-hmm. So with Patricia, probably the same as I do, have to tell people, please, use less than you're used to. It's
so
going to take a little time to soak into your skin. You want to give yourself a little massage with it and let it soak in a little bit. But it'll all, over time, be much more protective and much more nutritious for your skin.
And something I just realized, because I've been selling these products for a long time, and I know that, like, the beeswax, and I use an unrefined beeswax where a lot of people bleach it. I don't like that.
Yeah. They bleach it?
No.
They want it white.
They want it white so it won't, they can do what they want, or it makes a white cream.
They just want it white.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so they're really taking out all the natural substances as far as I'm concerned. But what I didn't realize, I know it's a humectant and it pulls it into your skin, but even Dr. Oz was talking about just last week on TV about lips and eyes. And he was saying that literally the beeswax actually protects from the wind and the sun when you're out there, because it is a little bit of a wax coating.
Right.
So instead of, like, people thinking these oils will fry you when you go out there, because I even had customers say, if I put this on my skin, I'm going to fry out there, it actually protects it because there's a little bit of a wax coating. And macadamia nut oil actually has a natural sunscreen in it. I learned that from the woman from the farmer's market that sells the macadamia nuts.
Oh, the woman who brings, she sells the whole organic.
From Hawaii.
Yeah. Yes. Her, I just ate my last two. She needs to come back.
Right. But it's so nice to know that, you know, the macadamia has a natural sunscreen. Yeah. I don't add anything.
That is so intuitively correct. You know, that makes so much sense. That's great to know.
And my customers kept asking me if I put one in and I don't put, you know, sunscreen in it. You know, I really don't. I make them in small batches.
Yeah, you have to put too much chemical things in to make a sunscreen. You're better off using some natural things plus a little bit of your own clothing protection.
What is there for natural sun protection? I mean, if you have, is there anything other than, I mean, if you're going to say you have to be out in the sun, you're someone like me, you're pale, you don't tan, and you have to be out, what are your natural options?
And with the unrefined beeswax, anything. I have a wonderful moisturizer. I didn't know there was as many people. I would have brought a few more because I will leave you with one. Really, so you can try it, but you can put it on your lips, your eyes, and you'll see it. It actually, and I have laid out in the sun a lot in my life, and I think I've been using these products for about 30 years. I really think they do help, because when I was younger, I just laid out in the sun probably more than I should, but I've always put that beeswax coating that I use, I mean, on my eyes and lips area, so I think it's helped a lot. I mean, you know, more than it probably could have.
I just noticed I had to do a performance 2 weeks ago, I guess, and we were going to be in the sun for like 3 hours, and my face, and I did fine, but I hate putting, you know, I put commercial sunscreen on, but I put nothing right along my scalp line, and I had a headband of burn. I thought, you know, I really do. I really couldn't wear a hat in the performance. I mean, sometimes there are things you have to dress like someone tells you. So I thought, that's something to research.
As much as St. John's Wort is spoken against, because
it is?
Some people
miss that.
Isn't the FDA have a warning on it? External use.
Probably
the FDA for eating it, as far as external use only. Mm-hmm. They have these warnings on certain herbs, comfrey and St. John's Wort and a few others, where they say, well, it's going to do this to you, so it makes the cells grow, or it does. It might make you photosensitive.
Lovely.
So that's the St. John's Wort. So you shouldn't eat it. you only use it externally. But they, again, like Terry spoke earlier, are speaking from a point of view of pulling out constituents that make certain, that do certain things,
right,
and then also taking them in high doses, mm-hmm, that wouldn't do that. So St. John's wort, in being a light sensitive plant and growing here wild in our county, very wonderful to use. It makes a red oil because it has the hypericin in the petals when you squeeze them, mm-hmm, and it used in an oil is an excellent photo screen.
Oh, that's great to know.
That, I would say, with the beeswax, uh-huh, like in and maybe some shea butter and other things, and we give also give a little butter, give a little coating, uh-huh, to it, and calendula is another
calendula's
one.
Good.
You know, the two together.
Uh-huh.
And
okay, that's great.
I believe
to know.
Karen Saunders really recommends, mm-hmm, a sesame oil with St. John's wort.
I love the sesame seal. It's my new favorite.
A couple of other things.
And if you get burnt, mm-hmm, you can just put the St. John's wort oil on you because it is a burn oil,
right,
so it's good for sunburn.
It heals
burns. Don't have any aloe around.
Yeah.
It's a great, great, great one for sunburn.
Yeah. Oh, that's great to know.
It heals her. Yeah.
Outstanding. I knew you guys would know the answer. One more musical break, and we'll be right back here on Mouthful.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Remember me to one who lives there. She once was a true love of mine. Tell her to make me a tile. The deep forest green, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Strands and polishes her fan, and she'll be a true love of mine. Tell her to reap it in a sickle of blazing in scarlet battalion. Parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme.
Support for Mouthful on KRCB-FM comes from our members and from Peter Lowell's Cafe in Sebastopol, offering Pinot and Pizza Tuesday evening, and each Wednesday is Locals Night. Brunch served Saturday and Sunday, rustic Italian atmosphere at Peter Lowell's Cafe, online at peterlowells.com. And from Barn Diva Restaurant and Lounge, just off the plaza in Healdsburg, committed to a sustainable and locally sourced menu with special family-style dinners on Wednesday and Sunday brunch. Kids and dogs are always welcome in the dining gardens. Barn Diva reservations and menu at barndiva.com. Now back to Mouthful.
We are talking about herbs, and oh, this room just smells better and better every minute. So let's go back to the herb. Maybe we... No, you brought something up, Frederick. We'll go back to the herb fair in a minute. You know, here on Mouthful, you should always have a piece of paper and a pencil. Just before the end of the hour, we'll give you contact information for all of our guests and information about the upcoming herb fair. But, Frederick, you were saying something really interesting.
Well, I was talking about this idea that medicinal herbs, and I think sometimes people seem to think, oh, medicinal herbs, that's different than the herbs we eat in our food. But in fact, all herbs have these aromatics in them, and those aromatics are medicinal. And so when you're eating pesto, you're eating an antidepressant. And everybody I know gets happy when they eat pesto. In the spring, I crave this salad with, I like grated carrots with a lot of fresh Italian parsley, that flat leaf parsley, when it's really succulent and sweet.
I love Italian parsley. Yes, hands full. Yes.
And, you know, these things are really healthy for you when you use a lot of any herb.
I've taken now, whenever I make a soup out of greens, whether it's the lettuce soup I've been making all spring or a winter green soup, I put huge handfuls of Italian parsley in the soup as well. I like how it tastes, but it also keeps that vibrant green color, and it is really good for you.
Yeah. And parsley is actually a natural mouth freshener. That's what they do, though. You pick it and just eat it naturally.
Right.
When I used to work for another company, we used to grow a lot of different chamomiles and stuff, and kids would come in, and they didn't realize that those were teas. We would actually say, pick what you want. Pick some chamomile or pick some mint. But they didn't realize that's what makes the teas.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
So, you know, it's the same thing, just because I like to go in my garden and suck
oregano
on the honeysuckle.
Oregano is great.
I did that just today.
Okay, I love that.
Yeah, love it.
Oregano is great for the immune system, too.
Salads are a really great way to take in
just put a handful
herbs.
Of herbs in your salad. Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is there's a lot of medicinal herbs that you don't think of as being culinary herbs that are great in salads. Two of my favorites is a valerian leaf and self-heal leaf. Both of which have kind of a mild
self-heal.
It's actually a native plant that grows here, Prunella vulgaris. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a spreading ground cover, cute little herb.
Great in a cream for healing.
No, it's great for a lot of things. But the leaves itself have a very kind of mild lettuce-y flavor, and they're delicious in salads. Mm-hmm. And same with valerian, which everybody's pretty much heard about using the root, which is kind of hard-hitting, and it's a mild sedative and a muscle relaxant, and it stinks. And so most people would think of using valerian root to eat it, but the leaves are actually quite delicious in salad. And again, it's kind of a mild lettuce flavor. And you can feel it. You can actually feel, if you put enough valerian in your salad, you'll feel this calming, soothing sense from doing that.
Yeah, we could all use that.
But I like what Frederick said about the culinary herbs being medicinal. And it's so true. I mean, just my favorite ways of getting herbs in me is actually teas and salad.
Right.
Or I'll juice them. But I take tinctures every now and then, but... I was listening to a really interesting talk at the United Plant Savers Conference a couple weeks ago. Christopher Hobbs, really famous herbalist and one of my favorites, was talking about how they've just thought for years and years, science told us that a lot of these compounds and herbs had to be extracted with alcohol. And he said the science is now showing that most of these compounds are actually soluble in water. So tea is really a really great way to get this medicine. And you can make really tasty beverage teas that are medicinal and drink those chilled all day long.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's one of the best ways. Yeah, because another reason we, again, locally, we have a great traditional medicinals, and they're, as far as the local, but they order worldwide, herbs worldwide, and they're organic and they're great. They're very supportive of all the local herbal markets. Again, but if you have your own herbs, the best way is to get those fresh right there in your
pot. Right there, yeah. And they're, you know, many of them are very easy to grow. Now, I have this one. Talk about this one with the beautiful flower.
Lemon verbena.
That's lemon verbena. What does this need to grow successfully?
It's a South American plant, and so every once in a while, if we have a really killer winter, it will die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But generally speaking, when it's become a nice big shrub, and I have two big shrubs of this now, even if it gets killed back, it'll come back in the spring.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of
everybody's
favorites.
Favorite.
And And you just take a handful of leaves and smash them into the teapot and pour some hot water on it.
Oh, and you know what's really good, too, is to make lemon verbena lemonade.
Yeah.
Oh, Meyer lemon so juice, simple syrup.
Hibiscus.
This is one of
verbena ice cream. Hibiscus is my favorite.
I use that in a lot.
This is one of the best lemony herbs. And yeah, I've had lemon verbena creme brulee before, too.
Oh,
it was just out of this world.
Did you have that at Mariposa?
And
was it Mariposa?
No, I had it at Ramekins once.
Oh, I think I had it at Mariposa for the first time.
Yeah.
I'm growing something new a little bit. I mean, it's been around, but I'm trying to grow a lot more of it because at Matanza they grew two different kinds of lavender, and it seems like it's kind of permeated the area. And there's Grosso and then the Provence, but I'm growing the Intermediate Elba, which is the whiter one, and it is delicious and culinary, and it's lighter. I actually put it in my soaps now.
It's the one with the little white flowers.
It's white flowers.
I think it's really beautiful.
I actually put in a whole garden in Sonoma. I just did it myself for the last month, and it's a lot of work, but I'm hoping within 3 years I'll have quite a nice acreage of it. But it's quite nice, and I'm going to be using that completely in my soaps and in all my my culinary creation stuff, because it's just lighter.
Our lavender is the...
This one's the
Lavandula angustifolia.
That's the English lavender, true English.
The most medicinal.
Yes, it is, because mine's a hybrid. Yes.
Yeah, that's the most
medicinal.
The Grosso
is a hybrid. That's what I actually use in my formulas.
Yeah,
I buy that
in
the Bulgarian,
which
I love the Bulgarian.
That's English.
That's the English. This is Spanish.
Yes, this is definitely the French.
And when you smell them, they smell so different.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
And so when you have recipes that call for lavender, you really have to think about what sort of lavender you're putting in.
Yeah, and there's another one, that lacy lavender. Have you ever seen that one? It's called Lavandula pinnata. Uh-huh. That is wonderful in culinary. It's just a lot of people.
It's lemony. It's
nice. And it's just so, you can actually just eat it right off. I mean, because I don't like to just eat the lavender off the vine. I mean, I taste it sometimes, but it's very pungent. This one, you can actually eat it.
Really?
I mean, it's delicious.
So it has a sweetness? Mm-hmm.
It does, and it has an edgy, it's a lacy edge. It's called lacy lavender or lavender pinnata. But it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Amarissa has that. It's a little bit tender,
too. Yes, Amarissa does. It's very tender.
I was actually looking at it yesterday.
During the winter.
Yes, I put it in a pot and move it in and out.
Well, a lot of what people are used to are the Provences and the Grossos that are hybrid, actually.
They're hybrids,
and so they have a higher, more floral note. And so there's so much variance.
And it was funny, even at Matanza, people didn't know the difference between the English and the hybrids. Uh-huh. They really didn't.
No,
I didn't even for a long time. I got confused because it's French and it's English. It's in the high mountains and the Alps. Right. It's... Right. You know, and literally we put in a garden right before I left, and they show now where the English, the original, and then I put next to it the Grosso, the Provence, and then all the Elbas and the Dutch. There's about 50 to 60, 80 varieties out there right now. We took a whole tier out.
Yeah. So and on that note, we have to wrap it up. Hours fly by on Mouthful. So, Frederic, you are going to be on the 5th of June. You're going to be up at Michelle Schlumberger.
Yes, they're having a bee day up there.
Okay. And then you're going to be at Harmony Farms.
Talking about pollinators on the 12th,
the 12th.
In the morning.
And do you have a website?
And, yes, now... you can find me by going to www.sonoma.edu/preserves, and you'll find the entomology outreach program there along with my contact information.
Entomology outreach. And just for everyone else, you no longer have to say the W's.
Okay.
And here's one of the reasons. A lot of the newer browsers, the newer, you know, the updated browsers, they don't want you to put the W's in.
Right.
For example, I use Safari. And if you put HTTP and all that in, it messes it up.
Wow.
So you don't have to say them on the air anymore.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yes, I don't have to put them in my columns anymore, and you don't have to put them into your browser. So you just say the website. And you have to say dot and whatever because there's still a variety.
Okay.
So, okay, and Anne, tell us your last name again.
Wyant Lyon.
Wyant Lyon. God, that's a beautiful name.
Thank you.
And the company is?
Stella Flora Botanicals.
Website?
No.
Okay.
But sorry, we will see. Birthday, but the easiest contact is stellaflora@mac.com. My email. There
cool.
We go.
Matt Girls.
Matt Girls. And phone number is 707-486-9285.
That's 707-486-9285. Okay, Terry Tessa, we will see you at the fair. This is on Sunday from 10 to 3. And how do people reach you?
Definitely. They can call 707-664-0768, or they can go to the Herb Association's website, which is Sonoma Herbs, the S has to be in there, herbs.org. and you'll see a link there to the herb fair as well as a link to the Sonoma County Herb Exchange.
Okay, and again, your phone number is 664-0768, and that's, of course, in the 707 area code. Patricia.
Hello. We're at www.
Well,
somebody told me that
to
today,
it.
And I didn't believe it, actually.
It's true.
But anyways, PKSonoma.com.
PKSonoma.com.
Absolutely. And we have another, I just got a trademark approved, Happy Healthy Healing, which we're starting a club, HappyHealthyHealingClub.com. So I'll have that up running really soon, too. And I will be in Sonoma on the 5th and 6th at the Art and Art Fair, and I will be back in Sebastopol on the 19th.
Okay, if you could send me information about that Art and Art Fair, that would
be
great. We'll talk offline.
It's wonderful. It's next Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. And Paula, your farmers markets, Wednesday, 8:30 to noon, Saturday, 8:30 to noon, both in the...
Vets parking lot in San Rosa.
Uh-huh. And
Sunday on the plaza.
Okay, great. And on that note, be sure to tune in next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful. You can like us at Mouthful's Facebook page, and I will try to keep up to date on providing all the links of our guests here. Have a great week.
Just say.